Turn to Matthew 15. Matthew 15, I'm going to start reading on verse 21. Then Jesus went hence and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, Send her away, for she crieth after us. But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, It is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. And she said, Truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your precious word that you left us. Help us, Lord, to understand it, to receive it with gladness, that you would open our eyes to see and our hearts to understand. We pray above all, my Lord, that this morning you would be magnified, you would be lifted up, you would be glorified, that you receive all the honor and glory as thou only art worthy. And we ask it in the precious name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. You know, this woman is a tremendous picture of the Christian church before they get saved. She is a Gentile, and but the most important thing in this lesson is going to be the fact that she is also a model of how we should approach the Lord. Extremely important, because you know, when you're getting saved, and everybody that is here that is saved, you know that when you came to Jesus, there was troubles. There's always troubles. Matter of fact, that's the only way most people come to the Lord. You don't come to Him when you're having fun and everything is going fine. You come to Jesus when things are bad and everything is falling apart. That's when people really come to the Lord Jesus Christ. I know in my story, my life, that's how I came to the Lord. I was going through a miserable time. I was having a hard time. When I began to tell my wife about Jesus, how we had been fooled in religion, she was also very disturbed. That's why Jesus says, strive to enter into the straight gate. You have to strive. There's going to be problems. And of course, this is the problem. She's also facing a lot of problems. But we see it over and over in the scriptures. We see where the Apostle Paul in the book of Acts had been stoned. He had been taken out of town like if he was dead. After he woke up and then he brushed himself up, he went back to town. And he went and the Bible says in Acts 14:22, I'm going to read it to you. He says that he went and confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God. You know, that's how we come into the kingdom of God, with much tribulation. You come in that fashion, and it continues. I remember when my wife got saved. She got saved shortly after I did. She was going through problems because she realized she had been fooled all her life. But as soon as she accepted Jesus, here comes the attacks. It didn't get any better. Her mama said, I disown you. I don't want you for a daughter. And so many times, people have been kicked out of their homes. They have lost their inheritance. Especially a lot of these nations like the Jewish people, when they accept Jesus, they lose out quite a bit. If you're a Muslim, sometimes they just shoot you. This is the story of a doctor here in San Antonio. That's what happened to him when he accepted the Lord Jesus Christ. There's always trouble. You're going to have problems, and we're going to be striving. But you know, the story that we have here, beloved, is a story that's very, very important. This is a 911 call. There's big problems in this family. This lady has a major issue. There's her daughter has a devil. He's been vexing her, and that's extremely, extremely serious. She's not asking either for to get the whole loaf. She's not really asking for all kinds of miracles. She just wants just a little crumb. And I know that even right here in this auditorium, I know a lot of you are going through major troubles. Some of you, maybe they're not so major, but I know some of you have big issues, big problems. I know you've been praying to God. And the time that we really get to praying is real hard is when the troubles come, when our health begins to fail. When you can't find a job, when you're about to lose your house, when you have your children that are going astray, these are trying times, and this is exactly what this lady is going through right now. It's a desperate occasion for her. She understands now that no religion can help her. She understands that no man can save her daughter. And this lady comes from the Canaanites. She is also called a Greek. She is also from the nation of the Phoenicians. The Bible tells me that this is a very idolatrous nation. They worshipped all kinds of things. But what we see here is she has realized there is nothing else can help her. She has heard about Jesus. That's what the Bible says. And that's why she came to seek him and to find him. And of course, this story also appears in Mark chapter 7. So I'm going to be referring to Mark chapter 7, just like in Matthew 15. And when you put them all together, that's when you truly get the whole picture. It tells me also in Mark chapter 7, that doesn't tell you in Matthew chapter 15, but it says that they went into a house. It was the disciples and the Lord. And the Bible says in there that they went inside a house and would have no man know it. They didn't want nobody to know. Maybe they were tired. Maybe they needed some rest. Maybe they needed to just have a little bit of R&R. They were exhausted. They wanted to have some peace and quiet. Maybe they wanted to get a little sleep. The thing is that this is also very significant. The fact that they went into a house, they didn't want nobody to know it. But you know, as you look through the scriptures, you will find that God always tells you to seek him. He always tells you, you go through the Psalms, you look up that word, and you'll find that God always telling you to seek him. The Bible also says in Psalm 119, verse 2, he says, blessed are they that keep his testimonies and that seek him with all, with the whole heart. You know, that's what, when your faith really comes out, that's when we really mean business. When we begin to seek the Lord with all our hearts. The Bible also tells us in Isaiah 55, verse 6, he says, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. And of course, this lady is looking for him. She's looking for him because she has a need. And what the Bible tells me is that if you will seek him, you will find him. He is near, and she found him. And so she's going after him because she has a very hard need. It's a very desperate need. And maybe some in here are really going through some real hard times. Your health has failed you. And this is really when we really start seeking the Lord. I know that when my health has failed me, that's when I really start praying real hard. I wish I would always pray like that, but I'm just being honest. But this is when we really do. And what we see here is that this lady is doing it for her daughter. And which one of us would not do all we can for our children? We all love our sons and daughters. We would do anything. It doesn't really matter what your son or your daughter has done. It doesn't matter how far they have slipped. It doesn't matter what direction they've taken. You have seen them do or take the wrong steps, go in the wrong direction. But when the time really comes, you're always going to have a place in your heart for them. And I see it in the scriptures. I see it with King David. When his son Solomon had already abandoned him, left him, was going astray, doing whatever he wanted. He didn't want anything to do with his father. Yet, when he was killed and David received word that his son had been killed, the first things that come out of David's mouth is, "Oh, Absalom, Absalom, my son, I would have given my life for you." That's how fathers and mothers are. That's what we think of our children. It doesn't matter what they have done. And this lady is in the same position. Jesus also tells us in the New Testament, he says, "Which one of you, if your son would ask you for bread, would give him a stone?" None of us. Even though we are wicked and we are bad, we still would not do that to our son. And this lady is no different than any one of us. She had heard of him. She had already heard that he was the Messiah. She addressed him as the son of David. She had already heard that he was healing the blind, that he was healing the sick. As far as taking out demons, she had already heard about what happened at the country of the Gadarenes, where this man was by the tombs who had a legion of devils, and it was no problem for Jesus to cast them out. If he could cast out a whole legion of devils, one lousy little devil would be no big deal. So she comes to him because she wants her daughter to be delivered. Surely, this is a spiritual warfare. That's exactly what we face also when we get saved. It's a spiritual warfare. We have all kinds of problems will come our way. The devil, let me tell you, he will not give up just that easy. He will make it as hard as he can. He doesn't want to lose nobody. I've been going door to door for many, many years. Actually, 6 months after I got saved, I began to go into the streets to go and witness to people. So I've been doing it for many, many years. And so many times, I'll come home and I'll tell my wife what I've experienced. Many times she has been with me. But what I have found is that so many times I'm talking to somebody, and they've opened the door, and I'm beginning to give them the gospel, and they begin to ask questions, and here comes a phone call. And it's always somebody they hadn't talked to in years. Somebody that is very important that they have to tell me, "Sorry, I'll talk to you another day." Or here comes the kids, and all of a sudden they want to just be bugging their mom or their dad. And they won't shut up. Or the beans begin to burn. Or something begins to happen. The planes have come over and made so much noise. There's an emergency. Relatives come in and arrive to visit them. And I say, man, this is a spiritual warfare. Yep. The devil doesn't give up. He will fight all he can because he doesn't want you to get saved. And this is what this lady is confronting. And the first thing I want you to understand is that when she asked the Lord to have mercy on her daughter, the first thing that Jesus does is he doesn't answer her. And you know, let me just tell you one thing right now. Don't ever read a scripture and just because you see some things in here, because what I'm going to read to you in a little while, it might seem like God is not caring. It might seem like He doesn't really love that much. It seems like He's going to also pull the race card. But none of that is true. When when I finish talking to you, you'll understand God is only trying to polish this rough diamond. He's trying to take her through some things that her faith would never have been shown if He didn't try it. And that's what He's doing with you. I know that I have prayed for many things also, and I asked the Lord for some things, but I'm not about to say, oh Lord, I deserve it. It's my right. I need to get it. You said to call and to ask and to knock, and you would open to ask and I would receive. I need to understand that sometimes God's answer is, wait a little bit. I'll answer you later. But we ought not to ever accuse God of something wrong. It's just our understanding that's a little bit short. And I just want to let you know that just because God didn't answer this lady right away, and He didn't answer maybe your own request that you have to the Lord, doesn't mean that He's silent, that it's an indication that He is not willing to help you. Maybe He's just trying to strengthen you. Maybe He's trying to prepare you. I truly believe God was trying to prepare this lady for the trials ahead. Because if you can't handle a little bit of silence, what's going to happen later on when it really begins to get rough? Mm-hmm. Most people just fly off the handle. Most people just leave the church. And I look at the scriptures and I see so many examples. I see, for example, Moses. Moses understood that he was going to be the deliverer of Israel. He tells you that in the book of Acts, chapter 7. He knew it, and when he killed that Egyptian, he thought his people would understand that he had come here to deliver them. But they didn't. Just like they didn't accept Jesus as the deliverer. So what he did is he fled. He fled away from Pharaoh. He went into the wilderness, and God did not call him until 40 years later. Now, I don't hear any or read any place where God sent him a letter once in a while, where He appeared to him once in a while and tell him, hey, Moses, I still haven't forgotten. Moses, just have a little patience. He left them alone for 40 years. I also want you to understand that when He called them to that burning bush that would not be consumed, what God told him, He says, I've heard my people cry. Yeah. They had been in bondage for 400 years. This was not a surprise to God. He had already told Abraham in the book of Genesis that they would be in bondage for 400 years. But what I want you to understand is that He did not answer them. He knew they were in bondage. They had been there for 400 years. But when God was ready to answer is when they cried to Him. Mm-hmm. He's trying to tell us that sometimes we have to get a little serious. Yeah. Sometimes if you want deliverance, if you really want God to answer, maybe we have to get a little tough skin. We need to get a little serious. We need to come to the Lord and strive the way He says that we must strive to enter in. That even with much tribulation, we will enter into the kingdom. We're going to have to put a little bit of strife, a little bit of sweat, a little bit of tears in our petitions. We have to always trust Christ because He does want to answer. But many times He's just testing you. How bad do you really want to come out? I also read in the book of Psalms in chapter 34, verse 6, where He says, this poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him. He had to cry. In other words, when I came to Jesus, I came with a lot of tears. I didn't know the scriptures. But I was very, very convicted of sin. And when I came to him, I cried and cried and cried. I wetted my whole shirt when I realized what he had done for me. And that's when he hears you. That's when he knows you really mean business. Amen. He looks at your heart. He wants to see some change. He wants to see that you really want him. He doesn't want just lip service. He says in Matthew 15, these people honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Yeah. You know, the second obstacle that I see is when the disciples told Jesus, send her away. She's crying after us. Can you imagine the audacity of these guys to think that they're the ones that are the important ones? Like if the healings and all the miracles were being done because of them? How can you be so proud? But you know what it teaches me is that sometimes people think that they're very important in their own eyes. These guys obviously didn't get it. Right just before that, Jesus is telling them, are you also without understanding? But you know, my friend, what I see here also is that you're going to be offended. And sometimes it's not going to be by God. It's going to be by other Christians. These were supposed to be the followers of Jesus. They're the ones that were doing that which was right. They were being trained by the Master. They should have had more sins than that. But you know, it just goes to show that pastors make mistakes. Sometimes we offend people. But you need to be a little tough. Sometimes, if we offend you, let me just say it this way. If we offend you, it's not because we mean to. If we mean to offend, we will have to answer to the Lord. The Bible says, offenses will come. But woe unto him by whom they come. So I know that if I'm offending somebody and it's because I want to offend, I will have to pay for it. But many times, we're not trying to offend. It's just words that come out. Maybe we didn't think that well. Maybe they came out a little rough. Maybe they came out a little tough. But look at the example that God's given us here. Here's a lady that's being called a dog. She's being called all kinds of things. She still don't quit. So we ought to have a little bit stronger height. We ought to not run just because the pastor said one little word here, one little word there. We ought to just stick because there's too much at stake. Amen. We ought not to be running off just because he offended me. That's not what we were trying to do. And I know I'm guilty. Not too long ago, a lady and her husband came here. And they were here for a while. And then Brian tells the young man that he ought to not wear shorts, when he comes into church. There's nothing wrong with what he told him. Thank you, son. There's nothing wrong with what he told that young man. He was being as polite as can be. If you know Brian, you know that he's always very polite. He always tells you anything he tells you. He's always got a smile. He's not like me. Nevertheless, the lady said, I didn't like that. I also didn't like that Pastor Noyola because he looked at me real mean. Can you imagine that? And then said that I was like a winter cactus. Whatever that is. And then she finishes her letter by saying, well, I guess I'm going to go to the cowboy bar and I know they're going to really give me love over there. But you know, the thing is that it's minor things. What about what we were teaching? What about the scriptures? What about the Bible? What about truth? Nothing was ever said about that. But if you're looking at men, we will always disappoint you.
That's right.
Because we always come short. But you know, I see also the third obstacle. And this is not a race card. When Jesus says, I am not sent, but unto the sheep, the lost sheep of the house of Israel. I want you to understand this, that God is not a respecter of persons.
Amen.
We see that in the scriptures. Now, what he said was very true. He came for Israel. He came to be their king. They rejected him. That needed to pass. But the Bible says that it was the Jew first, and then Samaria, and then the outermost. That's all it was. And I will show you in just a second. But I just want to let you know that this lady, just because she was Greek, because she was from Canaan, just because she was from the Syrophoenician nation, God is not trying to discriminate. And he tells that to Peter. He makes the point very, very clear to Peter. Peter and the Jewish nation, they would not eat with anybody that was a Gentile. That was their tradition. They misread the scriptures. They were taught wrong. God did not put them to be above everybody else. He had just selected them and elected them so they could preach the gospel.
Amen.
But then they got this idea that maybe they were superior. And Jesus had to teach Peter a lesson. You'll find that in Acts chapter 10. And Peter came and understood this when he went and preached to the Romans, to the family of Cornelius. And he says, now I perceive that God is not a respecter of persons. So our Lord is not a respecter of persons. Mm-hmm. Don't even think that he was trying to pull the race card. Mm-hmm. I'm saying this because some people have said it. Yeah. That's not so. But the third obstacle. It says on Mark chapter 7, and I'm going to read from Mark chapter 7, and I'll tell you the difference, what it says in Mark, in Matthew 15. In Matthew 15, he says, for it is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it unto the dogs. But on Mark chapter 7, verse 27, he's got a few other words in front. He says, let the children first be filled. In other words, this lady pays attention to words. She's not only one of those that reads a little bit and gives her own private interpretation. She's paying attention to what Jesus is saying. And when she heard Jesus says, let the children first be filled, she understood, if there's a first, there's a second.
That's right.
If they're first, no problem.
That's right.
We're second. The thing is that he never told her they were the only ones.
Amen.
This lady never said, Lord, I deserve to be also on the table. Mm-hmm. I deserve to be number one. She never said such a thing. She took her place. And she would not quit. You know, this is what I like about the Lord. Even though this lady, she was broken. She came broken. She realized that her religion could not save her. She realized that no man could save her. Nevertheless, she understood that by when Jesus says, let the children first be filled, she knew that it was just a matter of time and then it would be her turn. And of course, that is extremely important. The Jews would be first, but then the Gentiles would be second. She did not demand equality. She did not ask for a full meal. She did not ask or object to being called a dog. She was satisfied with crumbs. She knew that little is much when God is in it. And you know that the whole key is that too much was at stake. What is she going to do? Jesus is the answer. She knew nobody else was making miracles. She had heard he was the Messiah. She addressed him as Son of David. Where is she going to go? And where are you going to go? Jesus is the only one that can save you. He's the only one that went to the cross. He's the only one that died and shed his blood for you. She knew that the apostles couldn't save her. Peter could not save her. James and John could not save her. You don't see her praying to the saints. Where did that come from? Not from the scriptures. It was only the Lord Jesus Christ. It's just like when the disciples also, so many got offended with Jesus, with what he was saying, and a lot of them left. And then Jesus tells his disciples, he says, "Will you leave also?" And Peter said, "Lord, to whom shall we go?" There's only Jesus, my friend. And that's what the Bible teaches from cover to cover. It's only the Lord Jesus Christ. Too much is at stake. Why would she get offended and leave? Why would she, even if she's being called a dog? But notice this. The dogs are always outside. Those are the mangy ones. Those are the bad ones. Those are the ones that the Bible always talks about. They're outside. Those are the dogs. And you see that all the time. But when Jesus is talking about this particular dog, is the inside dog. The one that's right there by his master. The one that eats the crumbs. In other words, this is the puppy that they all love. This is the one that they cuddle to. This is the one that they call them the best friend. This is how he's looking at this lady. He's not looking at her as some mangy dog. This is just a little puppy in our language. This is just the one that stays inside. He's the one that we adore. And that's what the Lord is trying to tell. That's why when she says, it is not meet to give the bread to the dogs, immediately she says, "Yea, Lord." In one it says, "Yes, Lord." The other one says, "Truth, Lord." It's the same. The thing is, she knew her place. She took the low road. She humbled herself. And that's what we need to do. We also need to be humbled. We also need to continue to keep asking. And that's what he's teaching us here. This lady didn't quit. This lady kept on knocking. This lady kept on asking. And that's what he teaches you, that that's what you need to do. When times get hard, and they will get harder, and you will get older, don't take too much pride that you're young right now and you're full of health. You'll be just like me and Brother Kincaid pretty soon. You'll be the next one saying, "I need an open heart surgery. Oh, I'm having a heart attack." They're coming. It's just a matter of time. We all are going to meet the Lord one way. We either go through the clouds or we go through the sun. But we all going in that same direction. But what I want you to understand from this message is that you need to take heart. You need to understand there is hope. You need to understand that you need to bring it with faith. You need to understand that Jesus Christ is God and he is on the throne, and you have to step out by faith. And it's just like salvation. You have to realize that Jesus is the only hope. There is no one else. The Bible says without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh to him must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. You know what? You need to seek the Lord. The Bible is full of places where he says, come unto me, all ye that are weak and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. You notice that he didn't say, come unto me, all ye that are real happy at home. Come unto me, all ye that have good jobs and have a big house and have a new car, because you won't. That's why when he says, no man seeketh after God, that's who he's talking about. But when the times are bad, when your body's falling apart, when things are really hard, that's when we seek the Lord, and that's why he say, come unto me, ye that are weak and heavy laden. Are you weak and heavy laden today? I know you have problems. And you don't have to tell me, I know that some of you do. I know some of you are even having ulcers because of the problems that you have. Maybe you need to just come to the Lord with a lot of prayer, with a lot of tears. Call on the Lord. If you're not saved, call on the Lord this morning. Don't walk out these doors. Ask him to save your soul. He will save you. Just like he saved me, he can save you and change your life. We're going to stand up and we're going to sing 249.